three
How's
of us.
How's that? That sounds pretty good.
Oh, the wonders of technology, huh?
Right.
Yeah, here we are.
Can't write many
cool
blues songs about bad technology. They just don't work, do they?
No.
didn't Mud Morganfield or... No, maybe it was Eddie C. Campbell. Somebody wrote a song about cell phones.
Oh, no. That was... coming to me.
Oh, the guy from the South Side that does all the muddy water stuff.
Yes. What's his name?
Crying out loud.
Man, that's going to be the question
anyway
today, huh? But I want
to
thank you both for calling up and doing this special edition of, you know, I have a Sunday all-day blues show called The Worldwide Blues on KCOSdigitalmedia.com.
Willie
Buck, B-U-C-K.
Oh, okay.
That's right. It just came to me.
Nope, cell phone man.
Sorry,
we interrupted your intro. You might want to do that again.
It all depends on how silly we want to be, I guess. No. But really, this is a special edition of the Worldwide Blues interview series on KCOSdigitalmedia.com. And I want to thank Doug Deutsch, as always, for setting this up. Doug Deutsch Publicity Services has been working with you guys for like a few years, right?
With Blues from the Top, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just very cool to talk to you both at the same time. You know, that never happens. I don't think I've seen you guys together because of Nick's touring and Kate being in Colorado. But
we're glad to be out there together this time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's great. I have stories enough to know about both of you guys, and I hope you got some time to talk.
Sure.
Got a bit of time, sure.
Okay, cool. Because my first memory of Kate was I had just gotten up myself from my cancer ordeal, and I was looking for support groups and stuff like that, and I found Blue Star Connection. And, you know, it's not actually a support group. It is a support providing organization, but it has really made my recovery a better experience, you know, seeing it wasn't the end of the world for me. And we've lost a lot of great people. And what better way to get back involved is to try and help out as best anyone can. Right?
Yeah, right.
So
that's awesome.
The Blue Star Connection, the first time we met was at the annual party up at Castleman's in Denver. And
right.
Yeah, I know I could barely talk above a whisper then, so it was kind of tedious. But you introduced me to John right away, and John, you know, immediately was just the most amazing first impression I've had in a long time. You know, he greeted us and sat us at one of the front tables right in front of the stage. And everything was ready to start. And, you know, it's always a great celebration with a lot of great music. And, you know, the highlights were you and Samantha Fish. You know, we're doing a set. You guys did individual things. I shot a few videos, some of my very first videos of you guys, but I was just immediately wanting to do more. So Blues from the Top. Started doing Blues from the Top. And, you know, you're one of the main behind the scenes how about ambassador? Is that a good word?
I think that's a good word, yes.
Okay. Because you're you know, in the middle of everything during the festival time. You're always walking around, smiling, saying hello to and doing at least a Friday night jam, if not, you know, the Copper Square. Start off with Andy.
Yeah,
Moe's.
Yeah. Always a good time.
It is always a good time. And you guys get some great matchups on the jams. That's one thing I told Maria. I said, that's like a photographer's, you know, greatest opportunity to be able to catch multiple amazing separate entities just grooving together. That's been some of the best moments for me.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting. That's the idea, is that a lot of these people see these bands often on the road or through their town, but it's good to make a special occasion when they get to play together, you know. So yeah. It makes for a real special treat for the fans and for the photographers.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I laughed about too, is that there's all of us photographers that are lined up in front of the stage, and you know, we get scolded every once in a while about being too visible in front of the band. And, you know, I always say, well, okay, I was standing here, somebody else was standing, you know, you could tell all the way down the line with the pictures that got posted.
Yeah.
Who was doing what to who. But, so tell me about what you're doing this year.
As far as the festival?
Well, yeah.
Well, this year is a pretty special year. We've got, it's an awesome lineup. We got Nick Moss back finally.
Yeah.
And the whole lineup is pretty stellar. Rick Estrin just won a bunch of BMAs.
Oh, yeah.
Nick was nominated for Band of the Year this year. And Dennis Grunling will be with him on harp. And he was nominated for Harmonica of the Year.
Rick Estrin actually won Band of the Year this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you'll have two nominees, one winner.
All right.
Well, yeah.
You know,
there
was a whole lot of harp-based or harp-enhanced bands this year, right? I mean, both days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then let me get the lineup in front of me here. The real special treat for me is Vintage Trouble.
I knew it.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what got me. I said, wow. I know Kate was...
Have you seen them?
Well, you know, I did. I was invited to their Larimer Lounge debut in Denver with Mark Sundermeyer and John Catt and Kerry Pastine, and the whole band was there. I mean, it was like a really cool party. I was the only guy with a camera there. And
oh, wow.
It was very dark, but I did my best. And a lot of the imagery that I like the most is actually the black and white silhouette stuff. But they are such a photogenic band and high energy.
Yeah.
It's like, man, how do you chase them around to get, you know? Plus the room was very small and it was very packed. So there wasn't much room to move around. I just recently...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just recently shot them at the Black Sheep here in Colorado Springs a couple months ago. They just happened to be here and got a photo pass and spoke to Nally. And I didn't know at that time that, you know, Vintage Trouble was on the lineup. How cool is that? And I think you had a lot to do with that, didn't you?
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said, I think you had a lot to do with Vintage Trouble coming on the lineup, right?
Well, I've gotten to know them. So, yeah, I kind of put them on my wish list. So I was glad that it worked out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so as far as Nick's going to be passing through, I don't know if you've seen them in a while. When's the last time you saw Nick?
It has been a while. The last time I saw him was actually probably a couple of years ago at Cervantes in Denver. And he was on the small side. But, you know, as always, what a great great show. I know Michael's on his own now, but I can't wait to hear what the new band sounds like with Dennis.
Yeah, they're just killer. And the new that new CD is doing so well on Alligator.
Well, and that's one thing that I love about Blues from the Top is that you can buy all your CDs right there at the merch stand for, at least 10 bands,
Yeah, one-stop shop.
Yeah, unless you guys run out before the show, like Eric Gale said he did last year. It was funny.
Yeah, that's right.
Eric was such a cool guy. I got to say, I was just amazed by his performance. And then, getting to go back into the artist area to say hello and talk to people. It's such a great time for that, because this genre that we're in is always very friendly. It's not so in other, like the rock and metal and, other circles.
Right.
Since now we're a 24-hour internet, all Colorado music radio station, we do a lot of special live streaming shows, and we do pretty much everything. So it's really refreshing. I keep talking about, wow, it's Blues Month, Blues from the Top, really Blues Jam. And then we got our own Blues Under the Bridge here in the Springs. And Trinidadio is back too. And then Telluride in September. So, the five great Colorado blues festivals.
Awesome.
Well,
very cool.
Are you guys, when are you guys coming out?
We're going to be out. I'll be out with Sadie on this Thursday, and Nick's going to be driving through with his band. Like I said, he's going to be on the road. So I'm not sure when they're getting in. But, and then he's doing the Category 5 night as well on Saturday at Moe's.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know that are you doing the Magic Sam thing that you usually do?
No, it's not a Magic Sam thing. It's just, we've got Johnny O and Andy Irvine. That's on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know you guys always do special stuff.
It's always a good time. It's just a good crowd to be around. So,
it'll
be fun.
Anybody from the Saturday lineup gonna be special guests Friday night?
I don't know. I'm trying to think who else is on. Oh, Southern Avenue is there Friday night as well.
Yeah,
they're on the lineup Saturday. We'll see if Nick is in town by then. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, it's always fun, and gosh, to have maybe Kenny Wayne pop in. I know that's, who knows, right? But it's like special things for that. And so for the Saturday Moe's Jam, is Vintage Trouble going to come in? All these questions go through the minds of people that come to the festival regularly, right?
Right.
There's a whole bunch.
Something different.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of us that come every year just to, it's like a big reunion of sorts of people that come every year.
Yeah, people have been asking, Priscilla and Dave and a lot of the people who used to go out and see Nick, back in a few years ago, they keep saying, when's Nick coming back? When's Nick coming back? So I was glad to be able to get him back on the lineup.
Yeah, and so that's how I let me relate to Nick for a minute if I can. The first time I saw Nick was at our Cristola Roadhouse up in the pass outside Colorado Springs. And I think we were just in there for happy hour. Nick was setting up and tuning up, doing a sound check, and I'd never heard him before. I think this was like 2009 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't stay. We saw him at another little place in Green Mountain Falls. And by then, I'd checked out some of his music and become a big big fan because I just love his guitar style. And so
in
I think that was one of the first times that Michael was in the band. And so we all, after the show, went back on the back patio and just hung out, you know. Nick's just, you know, everyone has personas, and Nick is one of the just most mellow guys, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The conversation was not like, you know, a typical someone asking about, hey, your music and your career and blah, blah, blah. It was, we were just a couple of guys on the back porch talking, which was very cool. You know, I think that second time I brought some pictures for him to sign, and like I always do. But I've come to appreciate, you know, mm-hmm. Nick being a gentle giant and a monster on guitar.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So is he still on?
Great songwriter too.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Let me see if he's still on. I think we're having some technical issues here. Hold on 1 second.
Oh.
Because it's three-way on my phone. I don't know if he dropped off. You might have to.
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Next here.
See, we were just talking about how modest and, you know, the conversation between, you know, guys like us, it's just not technical. It's we talked about just life, right? I don't know if you remember that conversation. You talked to so many people, but, you know, we talked about being on the road away from the family. And I think we talked at that time you gave up meat for a while, right?
I did give up meat for a while. I'm back on it heartily.
You know, and that's what, Kate said, Nick's doing a great dinner last night. Do you mind? And I go, man, if he's cooking up what she said you were cooking up, go for it, because you got to have it right off the
go. No, I'm just, I had some issues a few years ago, and the vegetarian thing seemed like the right idea, but I ended up starting having issues after doing the vegetarian thing for like a year that I didn't like. And so I started going back to meat, and then recently I lost a bunch of weight, and I'm just kind of continuing going on with what I'm doing, which is, you know, basically like a keto paleo style eating habits, you know, and did some research in the last year. My brother, who lost a ton of weight, Joe, and he's been to the festival he was with me 1 year. Well, my brother Joe Moss, you know, he's always been kind of a health conscious guy, but he had gained some weight over the years, you know, getting close, you know, getting 50 years old and stuff, and he got on this program, and he's down to his high school weight, and he looks like, you know, he looks like he was 18 years old again.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So I can't let him outdo me, so I had to get on this.
Oh, that's cool. No, I do know Joe. He comes to Colorado Springs every so often, and I catch
him
every so often, but it's always good to see him. He's you guys are two different individuals, both in personality and musical style, I think, right?
Yeah, and it's weird. The older that we both get, the closer to the center we are starting to become.
Wow.
I think we both kind of individually, personality-wise, musically-wise, started on opposite ends of the spectrum, and we're slowly coming together more closer to the center.
So you didn't get the opportunity.
That's life, like you were saying earlier. That's life, you know.
Yeah. So you didn't get to bring him along this year, huh?
No, I wasn't asked to bring him along, and you know, that's between the promoters and the managers. I don't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes I get to have my say, but most of the time, I just go where my manager tells me, and we'll see what works out.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing that there's always chatter about. Well, among the people, like especially Colorado Blues Society members, we'll try and anticipate. Well, who do you think will be around next year? And we always hope. We always have a wish list, and but it's always satisfying. You know, there's a ton of videos on our YouTube channel from Blues from the Top.
Yeah,
and I told Maria, I said, you know, I'd love to have those go to some really good use for the Blue Star Connection if there was ever a way to, you know, do what Kate did with the Healers CD and DVD compilation for the
BD.
She's been
a great advocate for it, and with John, you know, doing what he did to set that whole thing up, it's great. I just hope that the work continues in the right manner, the way John set it up and wished for it to be. That's the only thing that worries me, is like a lot of times when you see wonderful organizations that are set up by a well-meaning and well-intentioned person, and then for whatever reason they're no longer around, sometimes they don't continue on the same path, and I'm hoping that that doesn't happen to Blue Star.
Well, me too. And
I think it's on the path, but it's just like John had such a focus, like laser beam focus, and everyone who's trying to help is a little bit more, I wouldn't say distracted, but we're all going in 10 different directions. So it's just a matter of organizing and, you know, and making it happen. So some of it doesn't happen, at least on my end, doesn't happen as quickly as John would have liked it, but I try to get it done.
Well,
that's not exactly what I was referring to, but
no,
I'm
I
just
know.
Referring to the whole thing, you know, in the heart of it.
Yeah,
is what I mean, the heart of it.
Totally. I was just giving my own personal spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've always kind of been on the outside coming in to do what you can.
Right.
And what you do is amazing and well, probably more than anyone could have hoped to ask for, including John. I know that John was probably not expecting as much as you gave him. You know, I can't remember exactly what the first year was, but I know I was in one of the first couple of years of Winter of Blues from the Top.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being able to come back and bring my wife and my daughter with, and I introduced, you know, John to my family, and I was, and right away Kate took to the whole concept of what Blue Star was and Blues from the Top and everything. You know, it's, first of all, it's such a beautiful scenic venue you know, music at. So you can't help but fall in love with that. Then the whole fact, when you learn exactly what's going on and what John and everyone, you know, I know there's Art Ferrari had been with him back in the day, and I apologize, Kate, because I'll be filling. I don't recall all the people that started this with John, but I know it was pretty much John's vision.
Yeah, definitely. There were a lot of people, but he was.
Yeah. I know that you fell in love with that whole concept, and I spent time in a children's hospital. I had 80% of my kidneys removed when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you know, I was in a life or death situation. I mean, they told my parents to call the priest. You know, they didn't think I was going to make it.
Wow.
And I ended up having 80% of my kidneys removed, and a lot of my ureters and my bladder and my kidneys all rebuilt. And I was 18 years old at the time. So I was already, you know, pretty much full grown, you know, I'm not going to say a man because of, you know, shit, I'm still 12 years old mentally, but anyways, but I was, you know, they sent me to a children's hospital because the specialist there was the only one that knew how to do this particular work, because my problem should have been diagnosed when I was a kid, and it never did. And for some odd reason, years later, it reared its head, and and almost put me out. And anyways, the fact that I'm getting to is that I sat in this hospital, a children's hospital. I mean, I was next to a child that was 5 years old that was born with spinal bifida and had had 32 surgeries since he was born. And my brother and I used to, my brother would bring, I was a bass player at the time, and my brother would bring my bass into the hospital room, and he'd bring his guitar, and we'd kind of jam together in the hospital room. And I remember this kid who was a Spanish kid and didn't speak much English, and neither did his parents. But every time we did that and played, you know, I thought we were bothering them, and, you know, we'd close the curtain so I wasn't bothering them, and the father would open the curtain so that the mother and him and the kid could watch us and listen. They'd all have big smiles on their faces, you know, and I soon realized that it wasn't bothering them. They were enjoying it. It was helping the kid, because I used to lay there and listen to the kid moan all night because he was in such pain.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm 18 years old with this kind of surgery and I'm moaning myself. You know, but to lay next to a five-year-old kid and listen to him moan is heartbreaking. But, you know, I will say this for kid, you know, most of the day the kid just, you know, you couldn't tell he had had 32 surgeries. Kids are so resilient. And then sure enough, later on, you know, the nurses would come in and bring other kids into the room to listen to us because the kids wanted to hear it. And that was my first exposure to how music could be such a healing thing. You know, I mean, what growing up as a kid, an adolescent, a teenager, you know, you have your own experiences and you think, oh, you know, I'm lonely or this girl doesn't like me or my friends are acting this way. And so you listen to certain songs and certain songs speak to you and they heal you mentally, you know, and I just broke up with my girlfriend and you have that, but to see the actual effect that it has on a person that is gravely ill, you know. And when I met John, I immediately went back to those days in the hospital with those kids. And it was like, I knew I wanted to be part of it. And I tried my best to be part of it. We did a show here in Chicago that my wife put together and helped for Blue Star. And then after that, it just didn't work out for me as much as I'd like it to have. A lot of it was my touring schedule and stuff. But Kate took over like it was like a, you know, some type of fever that she had to do this. And she stuck with it so hard. I'm just glad to be back at this festival and do what I can, because it's something that I really believe in. Is music being a healer for all sorts of problems, not just, you know, sick children, but everybody, and not just physical ailments, but mental ailments also.
Well, and
absolutely.
I could have said that better myself, but that's exactly, you know, like I said, after my throat cancer, as bad as it was, I know after watching a lot of post, you know, my involvement with Blue Star to a degree, how can kids get through what just about tears up an adult? You know, that's the heart-wrenching thing. And that's what drew me in to see what we can do. And I know John had always he'd always come down to Colorado Springs with, gosh, Mike Zito and Samantha Fish, and he'd bring the, you know, the Blue Star Review thing just like any other place. And I know he was not really thrilled that Colorado Springs wasn't as forthcoming as other cities and other places were in receiving the Blue Star fever. You know,
mm-hmm.
So one thing that we did with this radio station that we started, there's five partners, including myself, and we also have a nonprofit that one of the partners has had for about 8 years, and she had been doing music instruments, an instrument drive, getting donations, redistributing them to poor children in neighborhoods, and trying to get them into doing something productive during the summer besides getting in trouble or just sitting around bored.
Yeah.
So she's been doing that. We named the charity Mountain Kids Music. You know, I brought Lisa up to some of the Colorado Blues Society IBC functions, and she immediately fell into that too. But she's had some tragic losses last year due to cancer. So it's hit everybody's lives. And the epidemic it's only getting more rampant for whatever reason. And it's really great to see a group of people consistently come together. You know, I haven't been to any other Blue Star cities that where things go on, but I know here in Colorado it's strong. And I told Richard, I saw Richard, because he came down to shoot some shows, Tommy Castro, in the Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And
playing with Tommy tonight.
Oh, man, we'll say hello. We love Tommy. Tommy's got a personal connection to some friends of mine from San Jose. We'll just leave it at that, because that was another tragic loss. But and he'll know what you mean when he says Mark White and Fingers.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, man. I'll definitely say hey to him.
Yeah,
and I hate to cut this short, but I actually have to get ready because we're driving up to Central Wisconsin to do the show with Tommy Castro tonight, and I'm really looking forward to being at Blues from the Top. That's for sure, and hopefully we'll be back in Colorado soon after that. There's a radius clause with this festival, so I can't do too many shows around the area, but hopefully we'll be back in the fall to do something, because I have not played Colorado in almost 4 years now.
Yeah, so that must have been. Yeah, that Cervantes time was the last one, yeah. How about that? Well, no, I appreciate all...
Is Cervantes like that crazy kind of... like hippie kind of joint?
Yeah, that's what everybody says. It's you know.
All I know, there was a very sweet, stanky smell going around.
What kind of stanky smell?
they have skunks in the building. I don't know. There's a problem with skunks, I guess. I don't know.
you know it's legal in that state, so.
No,
cranky and stanky was everywhere.
I didn't know that. I've been living here for so long, I just didn't know that, Nick.
No idea.
The cranky stanky.
Yeah, no, my son comes in from San Antonio every summer, and, you know, he's always curious about, what's that green cross? He's going to be 18 in July. And I go, look, you know what that is. And...
Comfort stand.
Yeah.
You're smart.
It's the most popular secret in the world, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be great to see you. I had to chuckle when you said that, you know, you're still 12 years old in your mind. And I remember you said something like that when we were talking at in Green Mountain Falls on the porch, but it wasn't quite those words. And I just said, yeah, that's Nick's just, yeah, he's a guy. He's a guy.
So, I think that's what keeps everything in focus. Is like, you know, my Kate just had a birthday recently. One of my best friends just had a birthday yesterday. My daughter's having a birthday tomorrow.
Oh, right.
I was talking to my best friend on the phone last night and wishing him a happy birthday. And he's like, you know, my kid. My oldest is going to be a sophomore in college this year. My youngest is going to be a senior in high school. Your daughter's starting high school. We're just getting old. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Because we're both, you know, we're both still kids in our brains. I mean, we're both still the same stupid 12-year-olds that laugh the same stupid jokes. And because, yeah, but our bodies are failing us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm going by myself. Yeah. But
you know, I go on the road and I got a lot of young guys in the band, and that helps keep me young, and my daughter keeps me young, and just, you know, I don't know. My parents are the same way. My dad is a little bit more a serious person than my mother, but he's still, you know, he's still a little kid at heart. But my mom has always been a little girl at heart, and I get a lot of that from my parents.
Well, that's good, man. Don't lose it. I'm 63 and still say I'm middle aged. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Well, that's perfect.
It'd be great to, you know, with technology, if we could only keep our bodies going with our minds being so sharp, you know. But
yep.
It'll be good to see you guys and hang out and talk some more. And I know you're such a busy couple. I know you just had an anniversary, too. I want to congratulate you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Yeah.
16,
we both missed it.
We both forgot. So that's okay if we both forget it.
I was in Europe, and she was home. And we both talked to each other that day.
Yeah.
On the next day, I woke up and I saw a post on Facebook that Kate had put up. Well, Nick, we did it again. We missed, because we've done this before, because being on the road, you know. And I will say this about my wife, about Kate, and she is not the type of person that, you know, is expecting or looking for anything. She's the hardest person to shop for Christmas and for her birthday, because she doesn't want anything or never asks for anything. But I will say, like I said in my post, every day seems like an anniversary to me.
Exactly. Every day is a celebration. Well, in full disclosure, the only reason I remembered was because I saw a post by Carmine Rojas to his girlfriend. it was their anniversary. And I'm like, oh, Carmine, you know, he's played with Bonamassa and now plays with Brian McGarvey. He's played with Bowie, actually. A bunch of people. But anyway, I saw his post, and that's what made me think of it, and I immediately drafted my Facebook post for Nick. So there you go.
You know, and that's great to see longevity and the happiness and the joy still in your hearts. You know, Kathy and I aren't married. We've been together, I think that's it. We're going, gosh, has it been 8 years? And we don't really have an anniversary per se. It's the day we met. We met at Cristola at a big Bill Morgan Field concert. So July 31st is our day.
Cool.
It's been 16 or 17 years for us.
16. Officially. We've been together.
So we're going on our 17th year now.
Wow.
Yep.
And we've been together for 18 or 19 now. Well, almost 19 years.
That's great, you know, especially with the careers that you guys lead and the touring schedules. And we haven't even...
Well, that might just be the secret, Mark.
You know,
I
don't know.
Right, Nick?
I did my 37 years with the government and was gone 2 weeks a month for 20 of more of that, and was married and divorced 3 times.
Well, you know, she says that with a half joking smile on her face. But I will tell you this, for all of your listeners out there, if you want some advice, the best advice I ever got, and it's true, and I got it from Willie Smith and Jimmy Rogers. When they saw all the struggles that I went through with the women that I was with before I met Kate. You can't make it work, especially in this business, if you're somebody's everything. It's never going to work. You have to be with somebody that is their own person.
Yeah.
They want you, but they don't need you. That's how it works.
You know, that is the reality that really is a pattern to successful couples that I've talked to as well, you know. And mm-hmm. It's great to hear you guys together. You know, this is the first time we've had to talk, all of us together, you know, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Absolutely.
See you.
Yeah. So once again, special edition Worldwide Blues on KCOSdigitalmedia.com. Nick Moss Band is always in rotation every Sunday on the show.
Nice.
Never
nice.
Know when it's going to turn up because, unlike Kai Turner, we're kind of like an auto format Pandora, Spotify thing. But you're there, brother. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you.
All the best.
Well, you and Kai and everybody out there in Colorado, thank you so much, and thanks for spending it. I think you can call this episode Blues in Life.
Well, that's
Cage. How's that?
That's a, well, this is a great talk. Yeah, it's been a great talk. Once again, thanks.
Well, we'll continue it when we're out there.
Absolutely.
See you, Mark.
Okay.
Well, do you feel good? I feel good.
Oh, man, I always feel good. I'm retired.
Yeah, all right.
Say hello to Joe.
Take care, my friend.
Okay. Yeah, you too. Say
I will.
Joe. Okay. And
I'll say hey to Tommy tonight, too.
Oh, man, absolutely. Yeah. And Randy, the bass player. Okay. Take care.
All right. See you. Bye-bye.
You. Bye.